was Colin Gow with our officially licensed theme song podcast. I am Steve Shoney, the city manager for the city of Upper Arlington. I am here with my sidekick.
This is Darren Shulman. I'm the city attorney and beloved sidekick.
Beloved sidekick. I will say that. We are here with the one, the only, Maggie Rock On Roshan McCloskey.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
She is a brandly... freshly married woman.
Yeah, 6 days or so.
Are you formally going with the hyphenate?
See, that's a lot of writing, so I think I'm just going to
it's a lot of
McCloskey and be done with it.
So we can't call you Rock On anymore.
I really hope you continue to call me Rock On Roshan. She still lives within.
She's still inside of you. Okay.
She's still here.
I don't want to be that guy who like doesn't call you by the right name.
I did make sure we got her a nameplate for her cube that said Maggie. And I wasn't sure whether she was going to hyphenate or not, so I just had him hyphenate Rock On Roshan McCloskey.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
All hyphenated. So I think that's... I think you should actually go get it formally changed to that.
I mean, while you're changing your name anyway, just roll with the like Rock On in there. I mean, there's nothing that says you can't.
Just go with Maggie Rock On. Okay. We do have a guest here. We're not just going to sit here and talk amongst ourselves. Although we should maybe do an episode where we do that. That might be kind of fun.
Gold.
We have with us a person who has been around UA for a while, runs a pretty successful, pretty prominent marketing company here in town, is a philanthropist. And does great work. I know. See? Does great work in the community.
Lauren's listening to this. This is great. Keep it up. Keep it up. We're recording this, right?
This is more superlative.
Yeah, this is really good. Keep going. Let me stop.
We had to do this a little early this morning so he could go read to children. I'm not kidding you.
Well, so there's nothing more wholesome than that.
There is nothing more wholesome than that. Makes me feel like a little bit of a slouch. But the issue for him, I think this is... And by the way, he played football at Ohio State, is very involved in youth football here in UA, and is a dad and a husband. But he actually, I think for many in our community, is not the most prominent person in UA who grew up in his house. It is the brother of Dr. Leah Miller, Ryan Miller.
Thank you so much.
I just love how he said all these really nice things about you. And then at the end, he's like, but you're not as cool as your brother.
So my sister's amazing, right? Yeah. So my sister, everybody knows my sister. So if you don't know my sister, she's a teacher at the high school. She does amazing things. And yeah, she certainly is the most popular, definitely the most giving, caring, sharing. She's amazing. And the fact of the matter is, most people, all those great things you said, which is very, very nice of you. Most people will say, "I'm Dr. Miller's brother."
Yeah. Well, and your dad's now doing. Do I have this right? Your dad's now. The voice of the
women's basketball.
Yeah, he's doing the announcing at the women's basketball.
Now he's demoted you to the third coolest.
So down the totem pole, right?
Yeah.
So I just keep kind of, and then my wife, of course, is amazing.
Fourth coolest.
So I'm definitely, fourth would be like as good as I can get.
So, you know, you go from being captain of OSU football team. Got that right?
You can say captain. I wasn't the captain, but that's fine.
Those are just details.
Those are just details.
A linebacker on the OSU football team to...
Fourth best in your family
in this little small suburb that you live.
Yeah, that makes me feel good. Thanks so much. Is this what you brought me down here? Is this to build me up?
This is a masterful job by Steve because he did build you up.
If you brought me down to really get my self-esteem a nice little shot of adrenaline, you're not doing a good job.
No, but I wanted to get you feeling like you could feel better, so much better about yourself after you went and read to kids.
He's going to show up there crying.
I'm just having
a bad day.
It's all because Steve hurt his neck yesterday.
I did hurt my neck yesterday. I'm in a different kind of spot today. So if I'm a little grouchier than normal, it's because...
I mean, you're doing it all with a smile. I just love how you're like, he's amazing. Fourth best.
Yeah.
I'm excited to meet you. You're number one in my book.
Well, that makes me feel good. My mom would say the same thing. You and my mom got something in common. You still love me.
Okay.
At least like me. Let's go there.
But how did she feel about Leah?
you took his one thing away from him.
Well, no, that you know what that would say. I would say my mom probably prefers me over Leah, just like my dad. You know, the prefers, little princess, yeah. Right? Okay. So my mom, you bring her in here. She's gonna, I don't know. I don't know if she'll say it on the air, but I think if you close these doors, I think Leah would tell you too.
So
my mom would prefer me over Leah.
Okay. We'll check this.
That's actually a pretty bold.
Yeah, I'm
going to
say that. I'm going to say that right now because I know my dad would prefer my sister over me. That's the way it works.
So I do.
I got a daughter. I got boys. I know how this whole thing works, guys.
We do a little bit of research here, which basically means we check out like we do a quick Wikipedia search, and if we know someone. And for the record, Leah's got three kids. She's got a pair of twins. Who were in preschool with my youngest and the whole nine yards. So I've known Leah and Jack and the kids for a long, long time. So I did check with Leah. And I asked Leah, is there anything we should ask you about?
I just feel bad for him because first he gets like the year to fourth. Now he's got the dirty laundry coming out.
We're gonna get all this out of the way,
and then we'll go really positive from here.
I'm both loving this and embarrassed. Anyway,
we'll get all this out of the way. She said to ask you about a plaque that you had in your room as a kid. I don't know anything about the plaque. She told me to ask you about
this is
the plaque.
A good story. This is not tongue-in-cheek. This is a true, honest, good story. So, and I tell this to the kids I read to, not to bring that, but when I was a young boy, I was rambunctious to the point where the teachers said, maybe you should try the sport of football. I tell people this all the time. Like, kids that are crazy, maybe they should try these sports that get a little bit of their, wiggles out, I tell them, And so I really enjoyed that sport because I could do things that would otherwise make me go to the principal's office, but they're putting helmet stickers on my helmet for doing the things that I ultimately kind of feel like comfortable doing. Anyways, growing up, Leah would know this, I had a temper, okay? I had a bad temper. I know it doesn't seem like it right now.
Steve's been ribbing you for about 15 minutes. Yeah, you're pretty chill with that.
I'm pretty chill, right? But he knows at any moment I could jump across his desk and choke him out. But anyways.
And I couldn't move today.
He's definitely
a sitting duck.
He is a sitting duck. Anyway, so my mom put this thing in my room that, and my sister and I would probably fight more than my brother and I because I was the middle child. My sister's younger than me. My brother's older than me. And every time when I would get maybe angry, right, my mom would make me go to the room and read this plaque, this sign that I had in my room. And I'm sure Leah remembers this because I had to do it a lot. But it was a saying that said, every minute you are angry, you lose 60 seconds of happiness. So it's a simple phrase.
It's kind of deep, actually.
Yeah. Well, as a kid, though, when you're, a kid, you're not thinking about it as this deep thing.
That's probably annoying.
You're just so annoyed by you've got to read this thing that says, for every minute you're angry, you lose 60 seconds of happiness. Well, I've read it thousands of times, right?
Thousands of happiness minutes.
And so eventually, as I grew up, it dawned on me that's very, very good advice. Mm-hmm. And so my life has been really kind of determined by one simple quote in my room growing up that was beaten into my head about, for every minute you are angry, you lose 60 seconds of happiness. I mean, everybody can relate and understand that. And it's definitely been an awesome thing for me to see. I kind of tease my kids now that I used to have to do that, and I share with them the same quote, and they have to go to their room and they're acting like idiots, the way it works. But yeah, so that's where Leah was asking about that, and I think that was probably one of the more impactful things that my parents gave to me, and I try to share that story with the young kids that we, through Second and Seven, are fortunate enough to see throughout the years. But yeah, so there's the little plaque story.
That's great.
Do we have permission to steal it? Like, that's a great idea. I have a 5-year-old, and
it's a good one. I mean, I'm telling you, it's a good one. For every minute you're angry, you lose 60 seconds of happiness. I mean, I would have to write it down, I have to read it, and then you just, I get so mad about having to do it over and over and over. But then you start to think to yourself, wait a second, she's right. and we have all these great times together. Why am I being such an idiot? Why am I wasting 60 seconds to being so angry? And of course, you know, it's like the book. And have you guys ever read The Coffee Bean? Okay, so The Coffee Bean is a really quick read. You could read it literally over your cup of coffee. It's a story. It's a real quick parable about a guy who's talking to a kid at school, and the kid's going through tough times and whatnot. And he says, "Hey, we're gonna have you a little experiment here. Why don't you go home tonight, boil a pot of water, and then put some eggs in there. Observe what you see. Write it down. Come back. We'll talk about it the next day." Next day, kid comes in. He says, "Hey, did you get a chance to do our experiment?" He says, "Yeah. Boiled the water. Put the eggs in. I observed that the eggs turned hard, the hard-boiled eggs." So it's okay. Let's write that on the chalkboard. "Listen, tonight I want you to do the same thing. The only difference is I want you to put carrots in the pot. Okay, boil some water." Goes home, does the same thing, reports back the next day. Says, the teacher says, "What'd you find out?" "Found out when I put the eggs or the carrots in the pot, when the carrots were cooked up, they were soft and kind of mushy." "Okay, write that on the board. Tonight what I want you to do is," and he gave him some coffee beans. He says, "I want you to put the coffee beans in the boiling water and observe what happens." Comes back that next day and he says, the teacher says, what did you observe?" He said, "Well, boiled the water, put the coffee beans in, and made coffee." He's like, "Okay, let's think this through. Now your life you're living in right now is like the boiling water. We're all gonna go through tough times. It's not an easy life is not easy. There's every single one of us, we're going to have different levels of hardships and different levels of turbulence and different levels of heat. So that boiling water is the environment that we're all going to experience, period. You can choose if you want to be an egg. You can choose if you want to be a carrot, or you can choose to be a coffee bean and transform your environment. So you can let your environment create a hardness of you. You can let your environment create a softness in you. Or you can decide to change your environment and be a coffee bean." So I think it's a very transformative book. My kids have read it. I will give my boy a little coffee bean every once in a while, put it in your pocket, man. You're that's you, man. You can change your stars. Don't think you can't. And so I think those are the types of things that my parents, my sister, I'm sure you know my sister. Yeah. She has that same kind of like fire inside her that was given to her. God loved my parents for this. And recently when I was out in Pasadena, I was at a seminar with all these different nonprofits, and they say one of the great things is they say the greatest gift you can give another human, specifically your kids, is teaching them it's not what's on you, it's what's in you. And the things that you give your children, the things that we all put on, the clothes, the Xbox, all the nonsense will be gone. All of it will be gone. The things you put inside of them will never leave. So parents out there, that's a lesson we all should reflect on. Like, why are we spending all of our time, energy, and effort on putting something on these children? Invest our time within the children, and you're going to see the difference that you can make in the world at large.
This is not an ordinary Friday.
No, we haven't even gotten into Start Bench Cut, and now I'm like all inspired.
I'm inspired. I'm going to go do something. We're done. I'm going.
Okay. Well,
doing
hey, thanks for the coffee. This is good. It's got me going.
Before we get into actually this stupid part of our show, I do want to follow up on that. So you're reading the kids. You have all these great stories is the wrong word, but you know, how did you? It seems like you're very youth oriented. How did you get to that, or do you like lots of things? We just happen to be talking about that.
Well, no,
it seems like
so,
a focus for you.
Yeah. So I think, like anything, you kind of are a product of what's been modeled in front of you, okay? So, like, my parents, again, were very giving to others, very much part of other children in our community. They would stay the night, and my mom would cook meals for them. So, like, and then when, you know, as we got older and people, friends and families would have, like, little ones, my dad and mom, you know, they were like aunt and uncles to kids that weren't even related to them, right? And so that's just kind of who we kind of grew up being. But the fact of the interest that we've had with literacy in children came when I was a student athlete at Ohio State. So when I was at Ohio State, they would call the football office old school. You know, you got the old rotary phone on the wall, You didn't have cell phones. And if you were part of an organization that you wanted a football player to come and speak or do whatever, you didn't go online. There was no online. You would call the office, and then someone would say, oh, I see someone walking down the hall to go into workout. Hey, Ryan, can you go read to something? That's how rudimentary it was back then in the 1900s.
Which sounds so old, but it's actually real. Yeah.
So I remember Larry Romanoff, one of the guys at Ohio State, says, hey, Ryan, you know, he's on the phone with someone at you know, a certain elementary school. It was right to read week or Dr. Seuss's birthday coming up. And he said, can you read next month? And I said, sure. Not knowing what I had going on next month. So I wrote down on the calendar, in my desk calendar, old school, the date. And it was like a month or half away or whatever. And as I got closer, I remember thinking to myself, I don't want to go do that. That's a waste of my time. I'm better than that. I've got all these things to do. I'm supposed to be tackles and touchdowns, and I got girlfriends, and I got the schoolwork, and I got my exams. That's dumb. I'm not doing that. Although, hold on, time out. I told the guy I would do it. I got to keep my word, so I got to do it. So I had the worst attitude in the history of the world driving to an elementary school. I show up. The principal gives me a book and says, okay, this is the book you're going to read. And I'm like, okay, great.
You didn't get to choose the book?
No, I didn't even get to choose the book. Come on. So they give me the book. I walk into the classroom, start reading, and the kids are like just looking at me like I'm from outer space. And they're so grateful. Hugging on me, asking for my autograph. And I'm just like, I drove back to the Woody Hayes facility thinking to myself, shame on me for feeling the way. I just made a huge impact on these children. And so I understood my sphere of influence much differently after that moment. And so I decided that I was going to just keep doing that. Because why not? And 25 years later, we've been giving books to children all over the country with student athletes as the lead readers. And we write our own children's books. And it's been awesome to see. And I think when you do something, when your heart's in the right place, things grow beyond your wildest dreams. And that's kind of been the story of Second and Seven. It's been very, very interesting to see the number of people that have joined our huddle. And it continues to grow and grow and grow. But it's been very, very inspiring to see the children. Recently, I was at a reading, and one of the teachers said, you know, I can remember when Second and Seven came when I was a second grader. That's how old we're, you
so,
know.
So where does, and we'll come back to our normal bits.
Yeah, we'll fit at the end.
Remind me where the term or the name Second and Seven comes from.
So that first year when we decided, okay, we graduated from college. Me, Luke Fickell, Mike Vrabel said, why don't we keep reading to kids? And I said, well, why don't we give them a book too? Because the old school way of doing it was you just go in, the principal gives you a book, you read to it. Like you said, you don't even get to pick it out. And I said, why don't we give them a book? Because then they can remember our visit. And they were all like, yeah, let's do it. Well, how are we going to pay for it? Well, we didn't know anything else. We were football guys. We had a football camp. So we raised enough money. I think 40 kids came. Leah was there coaching at the first camp. She'll tell you, 25 years ago. And it's hilarious. I got a picture. Leah, there she is, man. That's, you know, so my sister's out there teaching kids three-point stances. It's hilarious. But anyways, because it was for a good cause, right? And so the amount of money that we had, we went to Borders Bookstore, which isn't in business anymore, and we asked them for the as many number of second-grade reading books as we can afford. Here was like $700. And they give us as many as they could. And so I started calling principals and asking if we can come read to them. Some principals are like, hey, I got fires I'm putting out, whatever. Some are like, what's the catch? What are you looking for? What's your angle?
Yeah.
You know, so it was hard at first. Finally, someone said, yeah, okay, we got 50 second graders. I said, okay, cross that off the list, call the next school. Long story short, the first year we had enough books to read to second graders at seven schools. So we called it Second and Seven. And we're football guys. So that's where the name comes from.
So do you still go to those same seven schools?
We sure do.
Which schools are they?
I couldn't tell you exactly the seven, but I can tell you the first one for sure was West Broad Elementary School.
Okay.
So West Broad Elementary School
it's up on the hilltop, right?
Is very much a very near and dear. Matter of fact, the UA Rotary, I didn't realize this. I never realized. It's almost serendipitous. But the UA Rotary has adopted that school for years, giving them dictionaries and reading to the children. So I've worked with UA Rotary, so because we love that school so much, that we go multiple times to that school. That's almost like a we carve out, you know, we do extra stuff for that school.
Yeah.
Because UA has adopted that school as well.
But is that where you're headed this morning?
I'm not. I'm heading to a school. I'm heading to Harmon Elementary School this morning.
Yeah.
Harmon Elementary School near Grove City, we'd call it Jackson City Schools. Yeah.
Cool. That's really cool. I kind of love how you were like not wanting to do any of this and then like it turned into such a passion for you.
Yeah, I think that's what I try to share with other student athletes that are 20 years old, 22 years old, you know, that you don't realize sometimes when you least expect something is when you get hit in the face and it can change your life.
So how you talked about when you were doing this at OSU was, you know, back in the days of the there might have been a touch tone. I mean, this was the early 90s, but how is it different today trying to get student athletes involved in the program? Are you still getting kind of current student athletes?
Yeah, I would say
and
it's
how has
grown,
that changed?
It's changed. Good question. It's changed in a very good, positive way because it's more organized now.
Okay.
So about 20 years ago, Gene Smith was brand new at Ohio State as the athletic director. And Mike, Luke, and I went into him and said, hey, look, our camp keeps growing. We got more books than we can read to all these kids. We need help. And he said, man, why don't we just make this a departmental initiative that we can systematically have student athletes off season reading to the children? Because they got 36 varsity sports. During the school year, you know, they're going to have kids that are not in their season through the whole year. And so you can be, you'd be shocked at how many, you know, swimmers and lacrosse players and wrestlers, every sport goes and reads now. And then what happened was, coaches from those respective sports would get a job at a different university, and then they would call and say, hey, can I get some books for our student-athletes too? Of course. So we never say no. If you called 2nd and 7th and said, hey, can you have some student-athletes come to our school? Yes. Now we got to figure out exactly how to execute.
Win, but
because if you're far away from a university, then we'll get your high school. Okay. So UA High School does a good job of having the girls' basketball, the football team, they'll go read to Barrington and Tremont. And that's a great thing, you know? And people, you know, cynical people would say, well, what does Upper Arlington need about books and reading? Well, that's ridiculous. Every kid is different. And there's some children that don't like to read or can't read and have learning differences and live in different communities. They can live in Upper Arlington just as much as go to West Broad Elementary. So our mission is to promote reading by providing those free books and positive role models to kids in need. A kid in need could be anywhere under the sun. And so, yeah, we have student athletes from the suburban schools reading just as much as the city schools. Now, a lot of times city schools will have a university close by.
Yeah.
So you can have those student athletes there. But I think it's just as important for a high school student athlete to go and read to those boys and girls because they can relate a little bit to that, those colors of the uniform or maybe they, you know, their cousin played with them or know them. So it's a little more realistic and also teaches those young student athletes of their sphere of influence, and they need to continue to be, kind of hold themselves to a different standard. They're the leaders in the community. They should be at least putting themselves out there. They're doing all these other things with time management and goal setting and team activities. And those are things we all as employers are looking for. And you're getting that crash course in athletics at the high school level, in addition to your schooling. I think it's a no-brainer to continue to teach those kids that they're the next generation of leaders out there.
So I'm shout out to Joe Bills, who's a colleague of Leah's and is the new head basketball coach, or this was his first year as a head basketball coach at UA. This year, he did a couple things. One is he had the kids doing service in season as part of the program, and two, he didn't give out awards for Player of the Year or anything. He gave out three awards: academic top performer, service top performer, and a passion award. Those were the three awards he gave out. So I've seen it in my own kids, the importance of kind of when they're younger, those people who they look up to, and when they're a young kid, a high school varsity player matters. And then kind of teaching, using that sports lens through which that doorway, that's a better word, doorway to get into kids' heads and say, hey, this stuff matters.
So,
what you do matters.
So true. I mean, think about it like this. So Coach Bill is a great example. I mean, what a great thing to have those kinds of awards, right? I mean, everybody on the team can relate to those. Everybody can go for those, right? And when we read to children in the second grade, they honestly don't know the difference between a starter and someone who might not play the entire season. They don't. They don't know the difference. And a good coach and a good team understands that it takes all 12 of you, however many you got on your team, on your basketball team or football team, whatever, takes you all to really be successful. And every one of those people is important. And that's why reading to children is such a good thing, because it reminds those kids when they go in there, those kids, the children don't really give a crap how many points you scored. You think that they really care? They don't. They don't know the difference between the starting quarterback at Ohio State or the fifth string quarterback at Ohio State. They could care less. What they know is, oh my gosh, someone who's of some significance thinks something of me. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. And it changes the whole thing. And so, yeah, I think it's great for the student athletes, great for the kids. Sometimes I think the student athlete gets just as much, if not more, than the children you're reading to. So I think it's a great thing. It's been a passion of mine. You know, Leah has written the children's books for 2nd and 7 for the last 16 years. Leah and Amy Hoying and myself and Megan McKay. But it's been unbelievable. Again, I don't even know. I haven't had a chance to really step back and think it through. Like, wow, it's pretty awesome, right? I mean, just keep digging in and keep being boringly consistent and just keep chipping at the rock, keep going. And that's kind of where we are today, you know.
So your passion there is incredible. And one of the things that I'm always curious about is people who have an outside passion like that and have lots of things going on. How do you balance it all? Because you also own and run a you own and run a business. It's M2 Marketing.
M2 Marketing, yeah. So that's for 20 years. And it's really hard to describe the proper balance, if there's even a true sense of balance for business and philanthropic endeavors and family and everything else. It's really, really tricky. I would say this. I'm blessed to be able to do things that I love to do with people I love being around, and it makes it all work. I tell young kids all the time this, like, you know, if there's one thing you should remember, if there's, you know, of all the things we talk about today, if you literally could just take one and remember this and do it, it's surround yourselves with people that literally their eyes light up when you come around. Like, that's kind of going to change your day. It's going to change your life. So, like, if you're going to work and it's not enjoyable at all, I mean, don't get me wrong, work is literally going to be work at times. But it can still be hard and work when you're enjoying who you're with, right? I mean, basketball, football, those aren't easy. You got to wake up and grind, and that's hard. But when you're with people that you enjoy being around, a coach that loves you, and he's going to be tough on you, you're going to dig in and you're going to enjoy it. And so I think we've created at M2 and at 2nd and 7 an atmosphere where people enjoy being around each other, but they also are butt kickers in what they want to accomplish. So you can actually create a situation where you're going to do those two things, and it makes all the difference in the world. So when Megan, my business partner, needs to get off to Penn State because her son's a quarterback at Penn State, and she needs to get out there to do something, it's all good. I mean, I don't even worry about it.
Well, as an Ohio State grad, you probably don't want any success for Penn State. Like, I'm sorry you can't go, so son plays worse, so they're not as good. You don't think that level
he's a freshman. I haven't thought that through yet. He's a freshman, so he still seems like a little baby. But my point would be, when she's taken off or needs to do something, it's no different than if I needed to take off and do something. We've got each other's back. And that sports background, she played basketball at Ohio State with Lauren.
Okay.
So that's kind of how
Lauren's your wife.
Yeah, yeah. So Megan and Lauren played at Ohio State. I actually was kind of reconnected with Megan when I went to get my MBA at Fisher years after I was graduated, and it was just kind of weird how it all came together. But again, surround yourself with people who genuinely enjoy you. It's not rocket science. It's going to make a difference. If you are going to be around people who don't like you, that's going to make a difference.
That's been my problem all these years, too.
I can tell you guys. What's that to like about you guys?
Darren and I just look at each other. We all, everybody.
You got a new team here.
You got on a Camp Roshan t-shirt. I did not. Yep. So we don't. Sorry, a little distracted by Maggie's t-shirt. We don't like each other at all. We don't.
It's very tough.
We do this so that we can have people in here that we like. Actually, we said one of the reasons that we start. So Darren started about year and a half after. No, more like almost.
I started in 2020. When did you start?
Yeah, I started in 19. So Darren started about a year after I did. And I've lived here and Darren just moved here. So we started this podcast actually in part so that Darren could have some friends because he didn't have any friends.
How's it been going?
I will say it has been going good for two reasons. One, everyone we've had on has been amazing. And it's like, I know they never want to talk to me again, but it feels like we're friends when we're talking. But also, it's weird. I've told Steve this. I'll like walk to the library. And I mentioned the library in particular.
Oh, no.
Like
he tells us one story all the time.
They stop me like, are you the guy from the podcast? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, isn't it you and that other guy? Steve's the other guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's had one person say that. To him.
Oh, hey, one is better than none.
Yeah.
He's gonna ride that pony until it drops.
You've told the story about like being changed. These kids are changed by that one book reading, I was changed by that one comment that like Darren and the other guy.
The confidence just really.
This podcast. Yeah.
Now Darren goes to the library twice a day.
I don't even read. I just go there to hang out.
He keeps driving around the library waiting for somebody to get out of the car. Then he's going to get out of the car and kind of walk by. Hey, do you remember me?
He walks down. He carries his sweater and he puts it on and takes it off. Puts it on and takes it off just to see if anybody notices.
Just walking around. I'm here if anyone wants to ask for my autograph. Yeah. No? Okay. Sorry.
Oh, that is too much.
All right. I want to come back to where we normally start the podcast, which is normally we have a little icebreaker called Start Bench Cut.
Steve's icebreaker this time was insulting it was you. To, I'm was to sure just, you're the fourth
yeah,
best.
Was just go deep and use my love, respect, and admiration for your sister to kind of tear you down. And
yeah.
And my real actually, I've gotten to know your parents a little bit too. They're fantastic. So. I can see why you've turned out to do fantastic things based on the rest of your family. Anyway, we normally start with an icebreaker, and so you know we sent you some questions about what are your passions, et cetera, et cetera. And so you said classic rock is one of your passions. So there's a couple ways we could have done this, and I could have gone really highbrow and said, okay, you know, what is your like deep, meaningful classic rock? I went with the little bit of kind of guilty pleasure classic rock bands that some people are afraid to admit that they like.
Okay. All right.
But
no judgment though.
No judgment.
Right. Judge free zone. Okay.
This is a judgment free zone. That. All people are clearly you've seen from earlier in the podcast.
Yeah, we will mock you if you think you're mockable.
One of them is you're basically listening to all the time. The other one's kind of like sometimes you pull it off the bench.
The other one, gone.
They don't exist anymore. You can never listen to them again.
So I'm doing the Colin ones.
Okay, cool.
Do you know Colin Gow?
No.
He runs Colin's Coffee.
Oh, yes. What are you talking about? Of course.
Yeah, so we gave these to Colin.
Okay, what did he say?
Well, we'll come back
to
that.
I'm dying to hear what he had to say.
So these are Bon Jovi.
Okay.
Styx. Van Halen.
Okay. And so I got to put them in a bucket.
Yeah,
right?
one's
your starter.
One.
It's like
okay,
on
my starter.
One's on like
okay.
High,
you said
high rotation.
You said Van Halen.
Van Halen.
Styx.
Styx.
And Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Okay, so Van Halen will be my starter, of course, and then my backup's gonna be Bon Jovi.
Okay.
And then Styx will be
gone.
You know, yeah.
Styx does no longer exist.
Yeah. I mean, I would think a normal human, that's the order of those
that's
three.
That's the
bands.
Only possible.
Yeah. Is there any other
if you're a normal human.
I mean, there's no other choice. I mean, come on. give me a harder kind of thing. Is there? Are you?
So
we gave these to Colin. Colin had a very visceral
reaction.
We gave these to Colin.
Yeah.
And Colin's a pretty dear friend. Name drop. We went to Springsteen the other day. And,
name drop.
That's as close as I get to a name drop. Is I went and saw
him. I paid money to see Springsteen. We're basically bros
now. That's as close as I get. But we're going to have Colin back on, and I'm going to make Colin tell the story about how he got to hang out with Bruce Springsteen.
That's more of a legit name drop. That is legit.
So I'm going to make him tell that story. This was a painful, painful thing for him because he cannot stand Bon Jovi.
Like, he, like, wanted to punch Steve for even mentioning Bon Jovi.
Yeah, it was...
I could see that. Without, I can understand that. I could totally understand it. I can understand it. I mean, I disagree with it because I think that they've evolved. Uh-huh. But yeah, I mean, back in the heyday, if you looked at them in the hair band days, Slippery When Wet, you'd probably be like, this is a little bit too much, right? You could probably be like, this is a little bit.
I don't think anybody can argue with Van Halen 1 on that list.
No.
I think that one's the other two.
I think it's the body of work for Bon Jovi versus Styx is like, it's like a guy that's got like a 20-year NFL career versus a guy that's been in the league for 2 years, right?
I have a hard time. But here's what I would say: it depends on, like, who is if you like are looking for your guilty pleasure and you're like a Rush fan. Styx is going to be your guilty pleasure.
That's probably a good call. Yeah.
That was like surprisingly deep and analytical.
Yeah, he dropped a Rush on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Rush is that group you name when you want to sound kind of
like
smart.
And if you're.
You know, I'm smart. I listen to Rush.
And if you're a Springsteen fan or something like, you know, you want that New Jersey sound, but you just can't be as intellectual as Bruce all the time.
Well, I do say this. It is. When you start bringing up music, it is interesting to see the different perspectives people have as it relates to different artists. When we were just recently, I was at some event, some seminar thing, and they said, you know, there's only two things on the planet that draw people together. And in this day and age where everybody's, you know, so, well, who did you vote for? Or what is your opinion about abortion? Or whatever it is, right? I mean, things that are divisive. Like, well, we're not going to talk about that. Let's talk about something that... It doesn't matter where you stand on like all these crazy things that divide people when it comes to sports or music, period. Like, you could love Rush or Bon Jovi or Van Halen or whatever, and you could be next to a dude that you would never agree with that guy on anything else in the world. But it doesn't matter because Eddie Van Halen just got on stage. Same with the Buckeyes, come run out of the tunnel. The dude next to you, you may never in a billion years want to hang out with that guy, except for that moment when they just scored that touchdown and you're giving a high five to that dude.
Right.
So sports and music do some cool things.
They do.
I think I'll take a step further with sports. I've noticed, like, playing sports, your teammates, you might never have hung out with that person outside of that team, but you're on a team and you're going to play, even if it's a pickup game. Like, hey, we're on this team right now. So it really does bring people together who – I don't know if with your experience.
No, for sure. 100%. I mean, you get a chance in your locker room, in your huddle. It's more diverse than anything ever because the diversity of thought and, you know, that comes into a locker room and in a huddle is significant. And, you know, to think that all these people from all different sorts of backgrounds, from all different types of thought processes can be on the same page with one same goal. It's pretty amazing, really. So, yeah, sports does a lot of great things. I'm obviously drinking the Kool-Aid. I think sports is a solution to a lot of things. I think more children should play sports. I think sports should more people should coach sports. More people should be involved in sports. It makes you get out of your comfort zone. It makes you do hard things. And then it shows you can do hard things. It shows you that when you practice, you get better. Surprise, right? I mean, it gives you all these great lessons. You know, there's the competition area of it as well, you know, and sometimes there's a winner and sometimes there's a loser, and you got to figure out how to make it yourself a little bit better or your team a little bit better. What do you bring to what do you bring, not to what you get all the time? And so you're preaching to the choir when it comes to sports. And
I'm going to meld sports and music now. You get to pick your own entrance music. And that could either be from a sporting thing or just walking into a podcast, whatever. What would your entrance song be?
Yeah, what's your walkout music?
What's your walkout song?
That's a great question, and I would have to go with... Probably...
I think that's the longest silence we've ever had.
I'd say...
It's one of those questions you really don't want to get it wrong.
No, we're trying to give you time here. We're
Led Zeppelin, Kashmir.
Nice. Look at Steve's dissing on it. Like, you can't diss a guy's choice for his personal walkout song.
Hey, you know what's the best part about it is he's gonna, when we're done with this podcast, this is the best part about this whole deal. when we're done with this podcast, he's going to look, because he doesn't remember what that sounds like.
So
because if he does, because if he does, if he does remember, he would be like, ooh, that's kind of good. I mean, all the, a lot of like the hip hop stuff derives a little bit from that beat, but it's got the heavy metal rock in it.
I'm
ready to jump off of the bridge and go save somebody with that song coming on.
We're going to come on next episode. He's going to admit you were right.
No, I'll admit you're right.
Hey,
I'm going to do that right here.
Can you edit this? And then when you actually introduce me, can you actually kind of fold that in? Because that would be great.
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing. Be like, I know you can.
People will be like, why is that music on? And in the end, it'll all loop back.
Makes sense. It all makes sense. And if you really want to get crazy.
That's fine. We can absorb the 50 cents or whatever they're going to charge.
I mean, if you really want to get crazy, you go see P. Diddy and the Lox. They kind of sample that. And it's unbelievable.
This is really embarrassing, but like all of my knowledge of these types of songs comes from what P. Diddy sampled, because that's when I was listening, and then I'm like, oh, he sampled stuff, and then you go back and listen to the original, like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, you know, so you know, again, I'm a little bit older, and the Beastie Boys did the same thing.
Yeah.
So if you're old enough to be like, oh, the Beastie Boys, when you're in high school, whatever, they sampled Led Zeppelin like crazy, and so Zeppelin's an amazing band.
So are the Beastie Boys, by the way.
Yeah, no doubt.
You've got Springsteen on the brain.
I do. Well, no.
Don't tell me your walkout song is a Springsteen.
What's your walkout song?
You're out if you say that.
It would be probably something by Stevie Wonder.
Isn't she lovely?
I'm thinking.
but he had a nice voice. That sounded good.
Yeah,
she's like a bird.
She's been on show choir. We know this from
her. I was going to say that. She sounded good.
Yeah.
Select
choir.
Let's do that again. That sounded good.
Sing whatever song.
No,
this is
Superstition.
Next.
It would probably be Superstition.
Okay, I love it.
Speaking of good covers, that is a song that has been covered over and over and over. I think. Well, I know the Chili Peppers did that, very popular. And then I think Stevie Ray Vaughan did Superstition, which if you ever want to kind of go deep on me, just like. Listen to all the covers of Superstition, and Stevie Wonder's a genius.
Which one's your walkout song? The original, or are you going to pick one?
The original is classic. I mean, you can't go wrong.
It depends.
But it sounds like you like Stevie Ray Vaughan. Look at him.
Yeah, it depends.
Yeah.
I would go. It depends on the sport.
Okay.
You can't be greedy and pick a different
version for everything. No. Hey, hear me out. If it's a basketball one, I'm going original. I'm making this up on the fly. Football, I'm going Chili Peppers. Baseball, I'm going Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Okay.
Pickleball.
What's your pickleball?
What's my pickleball
walkout? That's what I'm
here for. Pickleball.
No Scrubs, TLC.
you just threw out a completely different song. and you now have to do this next time you go in there. You got to play it on your phone.
So pickleball, I might go Living for the City.
All I know is for pickleball. Another One Bites the Dust is what should be for the pickleball, because everyone gets like Achilles, shoulder. Another One Bites the Dust is what it should be for pickleball.
You talk to any orthopedic surgeon in town, they want to sponsor every pickleball
league. No doubt.
They want to,
and the older, over 40-year-old basketball league.
Yeah,
for sure.
I have kept a lot of doctors, kids, braces, Darren, or whatever.
we have competing activities Fridays at noon. Darren has a... basketball thing that he does, and there's a group that I used to be very active in, and my Fridays have just gotten crazy, where we do pickleball, and Darren is trying to single-handedly ruin our health plan by having a basketball league.
My particular injuries are all just not cost-inducing, but the other people in the league have definitely raised the average cost of our medical plan.
So,
my sore shoulder is just painful.
Well, hold on. What's your walk-up song when you go to play basketball? I got to hear this. This is interesting.
I would probably, my walk-up song for basketball, for all sports, would be Snoop Dogg, What's My Name.
That's what's up.
That beginning. Nice.
You can't go wrong with Snoop Dogg.
So, here's the other thing about playing basketball here is... you're playing against the cops and the firefighters too. These are guys who get paid to stay in shape and are all generally in pretty good shape. And the ones who are showing up also tend to be about 25. Either 25 or like they're the. It's like Alan Thompson, who's been playing basketball.
He's got grizzled veteran skills.
Yeah, he's got all the old man game going. So anyway,
big fundamental.
We sometimes play old guys versus young guys, and that is a humbling experience.
Yeah.
And we're like, why did we agree to do this?
Now let's think this through. When you say old guys, what does that mean? Like, what age range are we talking about here?
There's a pretty decent demarcation between, as Steve said, like 26 and under, and then there's a big gap, and then it's like 40 and over, which okay. I don't like admitting is old, but yes. I also realize that all these classic rock songs we're talking about were our songs
100%
when we were kids, yeah. So we are officially old.
Yeah, no, I was thinking you were going to say old was like 50, but you're saying old's 40, and that's true because that's where, when that's you start to break it down. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if there was like down. People who were in the 30s, we would probably put the 40s with them, but there's that big gap. Like
yeah,
20s,
there is. Yeah, when you're 25, man, you're still – you can get around the gym fast, and you can bounce back. You can play the next day.
Yes. You know? Instead of like 3 days later, you're like,
Are you still active in playing sports?
Yeah, I played this morning. Lauren and I play once or twice a week with guys that are 40 plus.
You play basketball?
Yeah.
Oh, well, if you want a real challenge, Friday's at 11.
I was going to say, well, why don't I get a group together? Yeah, we can come challenge you guys in a little tournament.
If you ever start feeling like maybe you're feeling down and you need a pick me up, you can play the finance director, the city attorney, and the planning director for the city of Upper Arlington.
Yeah, but we'll throw in a couple cops just to make sure if you beat us too bad that you're there's a little thing to say. Are they marking down our plates in the I know you've got a scoot, and so I want to we wrap up everyone with two questions, and these were on your sample questions. What do you love about UA, and what would you change?
Yeah, and you know, I appreciate you giving me the questions ahead of time, but to be honest with you, I think people make places in my experience of just life in general, and I think the reason Upper Arlington is such a great place to live is because there's a lot of great people. And, you know, Coach Tressel said this old saying years ago, and I think it's true. When you go to find a place to live, he shared this story that there was two families that were trying to find a place to live, and they were both looking at the same house. And the first family comes up to this house and knocks on the door and says, "Hey, we're thinking about buying this house here. Before I take a look at the house inside, can you just tell me about your community?" And he says, "Well, tell me where you're coming from." And the lady says, "Oh, well, you know, the place we live, it's all right, and the schools are okay, and the church is okay. People talk about each other a little bit, this and that." And the guy says, "Well, you know what, you're probably going to find the same thing here." The next family pulls up a little bit later and rings the doorbell, and the guy comes out and says, "Yeah, can I help you?" He says, "Yeah, listen, we were thinking about looking at the house, but before we do, can you share with us a little bit about your neighborhood?" He says, "Well, where are you coming from?" He says, "Oh, man, we just love our neighbors, and, you know, it's a great church that we're involved in, and the community's great, and the schools are just phenomenal." And the guy looks back and says, "You're going to find the same thing here." And that's probably the best way to describe just, you know, communities in general. We're not the perfect community. Then there's no such thing as a perfect community. You're going to find what you're going to find. I've found great people in Upper Arlington. I found a great community in Upper Arlington. I love living in Upper Arlington. Not you ask about changing things. Shoot, things have changed a lot since we've only been here for about 10 years. But things have changed quite a bit in 10 years.
Yeah.
And man, I can remember thinking, "Oh man, we need a community center," right? Well, shoot, we're about to have one. I can remember thinking, "Man, schools need to be renovated." Well, shoot, they've been renovated. Northland Park needs a new grass. Well, shoot, holy crap, new grass. So you asked me that question, and I have to really dig deep to think, what would I quote unquote change? I love, you know, the people are truly, they care about the community. They care about one another. They're interested in being involved. You know, there's a lot of great things, a lot of tailwinds for this community. So if you're buying a stock in a community, you probably want to buy in Upper Arlington because you got new schools, you got people that are engaged in a new community center, you got people literally, and young families coming up. It's vibrant. It's really a lot of fun. not to dodge the question, but I would give you something corny like, okay, well, maybe just put a curb on my own street because the Amazon truck, you know, went over my side, you know, side of my lawn. Like,
but if you go by your track record, if you do say that, we'll have to replace your curb because everything you've asked for has happened so far. So
there you go.
That curb will be fixed within the next 10 years, I guess.
we'll have somebody down to look
probably
at it.
Probably. No, seriously, I mean, think about the things that, even the Tremont Road that you guys are on, you know, that's evolved and changed and it's gorgeous, you know, and right now the what is it, Zollinger is being is it Fischinger is getting it looks unbelievable. So like the roads are unbelievable, the people are great. I'm not running for office, I just love living here.
I'm totally gonna steal the story that Tress told about picking your hat, because I think that's a great way to describe how people.
And I'm stealing your plaque, so basically we're just ripping you off out of this podcast.
Listen, that was great, and I appreciate the shout outs. We work really hard to kind of stay ahead of stuff, and again, we're almost 50 podcasts in, and nobody has said they want to change the city manager or the city attorney. So that's,
that would have been easy. Always, that's low-hanging fruit, guys.
We always like to take a break.
After what I did at the beginning of this, you would have been totally justified in saying new city attorney.
No, seriously, in all seriousness, you guys do an amazing job, and you're thoughtful. It's a great place to raise a family. It's a great place to live. People are super supportive. I'm certain if you needed help, you could find it around the corner. I mean, it's the way people are here, and it's feels like a small town, but all the amenities of a bigger town, right? And so it's been great. Kudos to you guys. The only thing I would love to have is some kind of sweater like you guys got, because you guys look good. You guys
are good.
It's the won't you be our neighbor?
I know you guys look good. And next time we get together, we should have my sister down here, and you could really get her, man.
Now, would you give us stuff to?
Give you so much dirt on her.
Oh, that's
awesome. Man, you know what? We'll have to take this off air. But yeah, let me give you some good stuff.
She's right, not going to agree to come on if she knows we're doing this.
Hey, okay, between us. And
you know, Nate's graduating, so he's not going to be in the high school anymore. So I don't have to worry about him having her class. That's taken
fine.
Out.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's great.
Let's keep it down the down low.
Would that be the first family
brother sister?
Yeah, combination we've had. I mean, it's got to be, right.
Well, I mean, we had your dad on, and you're on. So
by the way, my dad on the start bench cut. Like, I was burning in the fire.
Like we asked your brother,
my brother, me, and my daughter.
Yeah.
And Steve said it like. Start bench cut. My dad's like, well, if it was a fire and I had to leave somebody, like, first of all, no one's in the fire. Why are you putting me in the fire?
So for Darren's birthday a couple years ago, we brought his dad on. And Darren had no idea that his dad was coming
on.
It was
pretty awesome.
Cool.
That's
so, yeah,
pretty
it was
cool.
A lot of fun. Gary Shulman's a good dude. So.
And he's listening because he's one of our 10 listeners.
Shout out to
it's always good to shout out our one listener.
Shout out to super fan Gary, and shout out to my wife who actually loves you and
your family's amazing.
And,
I mean,
and your sister and everybody. So
Listen, it's been a pleasure, and I would love to be involved as much as I can going forward if you need me for anything, but I really want to roast Leah at some point.
We'll get her on. It's okay. It's done.
We'll work that. We'll work that out. All right. Hey, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, thank you guys. You guys enjoyed the day.
All right. Thanks. Getting old, dude. Yeah, you need to stretch.